our salvation experience. If we ever get over it, we're in trouble. Old Vance Havner preached a message for years about getting used to the dark, and he's talking about how that you become acclimated to the dark, and that's the truth. You can let the lights go out, and all of a sudden you're in the total darkness, but just after you're in there for a little while, your eyes start to accomplish the things that you couldn't do before because the lights went out and everything just suddenly changed. But then you kind of grow acclimated to it, and you start feeling your way around, you start to function. And that's the way lost people are. They function in the dark. They work in the dark. They live in the dark. They're in the dark because their deeds are evil. But we too can get used to being saved. And you've been saved so long, you just kind of go through the motions. We sing the songs and we know the words and we just kind of mouth them rather than let them really prick our heart. But Brother Scott picked songs tonight about the rapture. It could happen in a minute. And it surely could. The Lord could come back and claim us. But let's never get over, ever get over being saved. I don't usually do a lot of prayer requests out here. I try to leave those in the prayer room because I believe we have a prayer room for a purpose. I've been in a lot of churches where the first 45 minutes are nothing but moaning and groaning. And it's a gossip column. It's a catch-up, this, that, and news stories. And I don't want that to ever be here at Calvary. I want it to be for the purpose of the preaching of the Word of God. But by way of prayer request tonight, I'm going to do it out here because I feel that impressed. Sister Cletha Gallman, she's getting ready to meet her Savior. And I ask if you will please pray for Miss Cletha that her cross will be easy. And pray for Brother John. The Lord will just touch him. John's a very strong man, and he's got a big, strong support system around him right now. Brother Kippy and Miss Melissa are over there, and also Brother Ken and Miss Gina are over there. So let's just pray for them. We've got other folks out tonight. Grant and Karen are down. They relieved Brother Tam today. Feldman is in the hospital, and by way of their own request and the hospital's request, no visits right now for Brother Feldman. Just out of respect for him and that, let's just pray for Brother Feldman, lift him up, and ask God to touch him and do what only God can do. And then also, Kayla Ford had a little accident today over at the Bethel Bible Baptist Day Camp and hit her head, and Kayla's got a concussion. But she's okay. They had an MRI and everything. She's going to be okay. But nevertheless, she got a pretty hard knock on the noggin. So you pray for Kayla Ford. And then don't forget Brother Woody. Lord knows we love Brother Woody and Miss Jeanette. So let's lift him up. And let's see. I got Miss Cletha, Brother Feldman. Chastity wanted us to pray for Sam tonight, her Uncle Sam, just like a daddy to her. So you pray for Sam. Who else am I missing? Seemed like somebody. Brother James was praying for Kay Handy in the prayer room. But Lord knows our need tonight. We've got a treat for you. One of my heroes of the faith, and I say that with humility of soul, Brother Larry. I love you, brother, and this church loves you. Every time I tell him he's one of my heroes, he tries to deflect that, and he'll always tell me, "Preacher, you need to set your sights a little higher. You need to aim a little higher." But I'm telling you, my heroes are those people like Brother Larry and that have carried the banner of the gospel for so long, brother, without wavering. I appreciate you. Some of your heroes drive race cars and swing ball bats or dribble balls or whatever. Mine preach the gospel, and I appreciate you, Brother Larry Adams. You're a blessing to my soul. And Miss Opal, or is Miss Opal here? There she is. Hey, Miss Opal, let's never forget our wives. God give me a good one for 32 years so far, and I know you've been by Brother Larry just a day or two longer than that. How many? 48. What a blessing. An institution of marriage is something special. And some of you know what that is. And brother, you've been institutionalized for 48 long years. Blessing. Marriage is an institution, and you've been institutionalized for 48 years. Wives are special, aren't they, brother? Special needs. Yes, they are. Look at Shirley over there giving me the evil eye. Wives are special. Brother Larry, you better come on up here lest I get in trouble. Come on up here and preach to us. Come on. He said that I told him today whenever I was talking to him earlier in the day, I said, "Preacher, you mind the Lord." I said, "I don't have to be to work till 8 o'clock in the morning." And he said, "Well, you might be like that preacher down in Concord." And he said, "The service started at 6. And he said, "Preacher, you just mind the Lord and preach as long as you want to. But we usually try to get our people out of here by 7. So, brother, the clock's running. You look back, you know, there ain't a clock up here. He said someplace he preaches got a clock on either side. Come on up here. Get up here. If you got a watch, take it off. You're in God's house, brother. Listen, let's pray for this man. Y'all love Larry Adams? Yeah. You love Jesus. Amen.
Preach. I love you, Pastor.
God bless
Don't
you.
Hold back or you won't be back.
Amen. There you go. It is such an honor to be here tonight. So good to be saved by the grace of God. And boy, to get to come back and hear this choir again. I tell you what, a blessing. I tell you what. Love you, Pastor. I appreciate him so much. And appreciate all of you. I do. What a blessing. It's just a great blessing. Great honor to be here tonight. I thank you for letting us come. You're always so kind and so just always so good to come by. And so, Preacher, well, you don't come by very often. Well, the home church, the number just keeps going down. And I told Miss Opal, I said, you know, we used to do a lot of visiting around churches and all, and we don't do near as much, Miss Mary, as we used to do. My heart just aches when I see, you know, and so anyhow. I did tell my granddaughter this morning, she's been helping me work on a trailer. I've worked a soup out of her this week, or she's worked a soup out of me. I'm so sore tonight, I can't half move. Amen. And about split the end of my finger, and I said, well, I better put a double Band-Aid on it just to keep the blood from flowing. You know how it is when it's like a paper cut. You don't turn people my age loose with a tape measure. And because when you lock that thing and you're measuring something, that's good. I'm glad it's got that lock. But if you've got your finger over there, when you unlock it, it'll slice it to the bone. I'm telling you, it will. All that thing is a straight razor wound up in a little thing, you know, with the end on it. And so, Tam, I know you've never done that before, never. I'm telling you what. That blood flying everywhere. My granddaughter saying, Paul, you think you need a Band-Aid? I said, I think I need help. I need something. So anyhow, I told Opal, I said, I better Band-Aid that thing. I want to take care of that. But anyhow, it's such a joy to be here. And I didn't come here just to carry on tonight. But I want to say that I appreciate you so much. And the Lord's been so good. Ministry's doing very well. I tell you, we're helping some new churches this year. Please pray for the church, Victory Baptist Church in Pinon, Arizona. We've been helping Brother Joel Haynes for several years. He started Chambers Baptist Church down in Chambers, Arizona. And God has moved him about 50 miles north up in Pinon. And I'm so excited. I get to go out and preach for a revival meeting for them in August. And I'm so thrilled. But the amazing thing that we have not seen this before, and we've been doing this now, we're in our 17th year. And but anyhow, out there in Pinon, he was telling me, he said, Brother Adams, when you get here, he said, I'm so excited for you coming. He said, they're in some type of an open-air building. I hadn't been there, but anyhow, and you go out there, you drive 972 miles on a dirt road just to get there. No, it ain't hardly that far. But you do drive a long ways across the desert on dirt road just to get to Pinon. And there's not a lot of people there. It's not no metropolitan area, nothing like that. But he was telling me, he said, these people over here, they're Navajos. He said, they're so excited that God would send somebody to build a church here. And Brother Kenny, I tell you, this is amazing. I don't know the exact population, but anyhow, it's not a vastly populated area. It's out there in the desert. A lot of those people have no running water, no electricity. But he said, we're out in the open-air building. He said, we've already got about 150 coming to every service. They're so excited to be here. And he said, I do believe we'll have our building under roof and dried in before you get here. We've been sending out building materials. He said, we'll probably be running 250 by the time you get here. He said, people are coming from everywhere. There's a church out here in the middle of the desert, and they're coming. Amen. Praise God, they'll really come now. We just sent them two air conditioners. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you what, they'll come just to get to set an air-conditioned building. And so anyhow, we're excited about that. But God blessed us to be able to get their heating systems and add some doors and windows and things out to them. We'd already sent them a truckload of building materials, 2x4s, 2x6s, 2x8s. And so God's been so good. And so we was able to get these other things out to them. And their heating and cooling system was going to run about $21,000 out there. And we was able to get it for them for $6,700. Didn't cost them a dime, of course, but that's the difference between here and there. And so anyhow, that's exciting. I'm so excited about going out there. We'll be preaching a revival meeting up in Shiprock, New Mexico in August. And when we get done with that meeting, Brother Haynes said, just come on over and preach a meeting for us. So we'll be heading right straight over to Pinon. We're excited about that. And so please do pray for us that God will help us. We do have the remainder of the summer is going to be busy. We've got two meetings, the 1st of July. We'll be out in Nebraska. We'll be helping Brother Tim Zekman out there in Logan Valley Baptist Church. It's in Lyons, Nebraska. I'm always getting that wrong. Logan Valley Baptist Church in Lyons, Nebraska. I'll get it right. We've only been helping him about 5 years, too. And that's the reason I can't remember it too well. And so we didn't have it. We'll be out there with helping him in a meeting. And then we leave there. And then we go over to Brother Jason Dowles. And Brother Jason, you know, he's a Wilkes County boy from down here in Northern River. And we'll be going over there. And he's going to have 2 or 3 night special meeting because we're going to be in the area. And while we're there, we're going to be carrying the heating and air conditioning. We've got a baptistry. We've got a steeple going down to La Crosse, Kansas. We'll be helping out there. Brother Daniel Lineberry, we're excited about that. We've already sent out building materials, Brother Lineberry. And it's just, I don't understand the way things happen, but God knows exactly what he's doing. But anyhow, we get Brother Lineberry, all of his building materials together. We get his doors, we get his windows, and get all that together. We've got it loaded on the truck, and then we've got the truck finished loaded out to help all these other missionaries. The truck's leaving on Saturday morning. Brother Lineberry calls me on Friday evening. And he said, Brother Adams, he said, I forgot to tell you, we need heating and air, we need a baptistry, we need a steeple. I said, Brother Lineberry, I'm sorry. The truck is loaded, and I am not unloading that truck to put your stuff up front somewhere. I said, I'm sorry. It'll just come out later. That's great. We don't need it till later. And so isn't that amazing? And so anyhow, praise God, I thought he was all messed up, and I thought maybe I shouldn't have been so rude to him, you know. But I thought he knew the truck was leaving on Saturday morning. He calls me on Friday afternoon, tells me he needs these other things. But I tell you what, the place where we buy the steeples and the baptistries and all, it's over here in Taylorsville. It used to be Piedmont Fiberglass. Now it's called Piedmont Components. Is that right? Something like that. But anyhow, it's got new owners. And so anyhow, they kept calling me, some of the women there in the office, you know, Preacher, you need to come over and meet these new owners. I said, okay, I will. I'm going to get over there, and we're still ordering baptistries, and we're still ordering steeples. And this owner's real reluctant to give us our discount, but he's been doing it. And so anyhow, but then finally, after about a year, and I should be shot in the head, I know it. But after about a year, one of the ladies called me and said, Preacher, the owners want to meet you and want me to set up an appointment. Oh, okay. All right. I think, Brother Tam, it's about time I go meet him. Yeah, it's about time. And so anyhow, and I don't understand why I was so reluctant to go over. I mean, I've been over there half a dozen times, but just didn't take time to go in the front office. You know, I always pay them in the back. I always do all my business back there in the back. And so anyhow, we go over there and we meet this gentleman, and he is one of the finest Christian men that you've ever met. And then this is the most amazing thing. He takes me down through that warehouse, and I've noticed, you know, a lot of things have been cleaned up, and man, he's getting things in order. He's got things looking good. And I told him, I said, well, I wish I could think of his last name. His first name's David. What is that, Mackinac? I think his last name is Mackinac. And but Brother David Mackinac, he took me back down through that warehouse, and we're looking over this stuff, and I said, Brother Mackinac, I said, while I'm here today, I want to order a steeple for Kansas. I said, we need a steeple over in Kansas. He takes me over there where they're making the steeples, and he said, could you use one like that? And I said, that's exactly what we need right there. He said, all right, and he wrote that down. And I didn't understand what that was all about. He wrote that down about that steeple. And so anyhow, he takes me back on through the warehouse, and he's showing me all these baptistries. And we need these baptistries. They'll run us about $2,000. Our cost, and we can buy them cheaper than churches can buy them, and they give us a tremendous discount, and they have for years. And so anyhow, but he gets me back down there, and he said, could you use baptistry like this? I said, yes, sir, that's exactly what we use the most of, and usually it's just single entry, either a right or left-hand entry, and I never know what they're going to call about. This one's going to Kansas, it's a right-hand entry. And so anyhow, and I looked at that, and I said, well, I need to get one of those today, too. And he had two. And he's writing all this down, everything he come by. And next thing I know, praise God, we've got 9 baptistries that he's wrote down on his piece of paper. He's got that steeple on that piece of paper. And we've looked at about $30,000 worth of stuff he's got wrote on that paper. And he said, how would you like to have all of that? Kenny Anderson, I'm going to have to call Shirley. Praise God, I tell you what. We ain't never been in debt, but yeah. And He said, could you use all of that? I said, well, I can use that steeple and we can use that baptistry. And we could buy some other things. We could take a few other things. And he said, I'm going to make you a deal you can't refuse. We got about $30,000 worth of stuff for $7,000. Glory to God. Didn't even have to call Miss Shirley. Hallelujah to God. Miss Opal just wrote a check. Isn't that a blessing? Preacher, I tell you what a great God we serve. Glory to God, I tell you what. And so God just put all that together. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what. Praise God. It's just, I get so amazed how God operates. Now these missionaries call and say, we need a baptistry. I say, praise God, which one do you want? Left hand, right hand? I'm telling you what. Praise God. I want one to swing in on a rope or what? You let us know. Praise God. We'll fix you right up. But I'll tell you what. It's just amazing to me how God. And that brother, he was just tickled to death. And he said, now anything you need, you come back and see me. And he said, we'll get it taken care of. And I'm thinking, glory to God. I just get amazed how God just operates. And then we've been helping up over in New Mexico. We've been helping over New Mexico. It's not either. It's just over in Arizona, a place called Red Valley. And so we've been helping over there. We helped a church get started over there, Brother Bobby Harjo. And so we was able to help them. They moved a little mobile home over there. And I do wish this whole church to go to Red Valley, Arizona. I do. Opal and I were going through there, and there's no road. I'm telling you God's truth, Cindy. There ain't no road. It's like a path that somebody rode two horses on. I'm not kidding you. It's a path about that wide. And they're driving out through there. You can see the car tracks and stuff, you know. But then we come around the side of this little hill. And then, Brother Kenny, they go up on this rock about like that. We're driving on the face of this rock. And Opal's got me by the pants leg. And I don't know what she thinks that's going to help. Praise God. Now, wherever that pants leg goes, that's where I'm going. And then wherever my leg goes, that's where she's going. Yeah. And we're going across that rock. And I told her, I said, honey, praise God, pray and hang on too. I said, I ain't sure we're going to live through this. So we get over there. And how they got that little mobile home in over there, I never figured that out, Brother Archie. The grace of God. This thing about grace tonight. You think it's amazing that God save old sinners? It's amazing God get a mobile home out there in the middle of that desert. I'm telling you, it is. That's just as amazing, I'm telling you. But anyhow, mobile home out there, they had it fixed up and painted up and looking good. We was able to get their lights and all to go in there, all their chairs to go in there. We was able to get them two air conditioners for that mobile home. And also a refrigerator so they could have some cold water. We got them a generator so they could have electricity. There's no electricity, no power lines, no anything out there. And so anyhow, we was able to get that for them. And then we got them a church van also, and we were so excited about getting those things for them. And I told that preacher out there, I said, Brother Harjo, you don't even have to preach good. I said, praise God, you'll have a house full anyhow. I said, they'll come for the air conditioning and the cold water. I said, they ain't got no cold water. I said, but you better preach good. I said, but you don't have to. I said, I'm just... He just laughed. I love Brother Harjo. But we sent him a van out there, and we got this van and had it checked out and everything. And after we had it checked out, I got to looking at the tires, and right along the wheel, it had some dry rot cracks, you know. And that scares me. I don't care if it's a van for around here or where it is. It just kind of worries me. And after we'd done had it checked out and gone through, I told Opal, I said, we've got to go get some new tires put on that van. And she said, well, your temporary tag's done run out. I said, I don't care. I'll drive it up there without a tag. And she said, you'll wind up in trouble. It'll take you to jail. I said, well, you'll come get me out, won't you? And so anyhow, you're just allowed one temporary tag. I believe that's what I've been told. And so anyhow, we do that to get them worked on. You don't take them to the garage, get a 10-day tag. And the 10-day tag had run out, and then I found out it needed tires. So we took back and got tires, and praise God, we didn't go to jail in either direction. I'm telling you what, isn't that a blessing? I believe Brother Potts would shout on that. Amen. Praise God, we didn't even get caught. And so, you know, preacher, what would you have said if you'd have got caught? I'd have said, praise God, I'm guilty, and I'd love to have mercy. That's exactly. I didn't have my mind up what I'd say. Yeah. And so anyhow, we put them new tires on there. After we delivered all that stuff out there, and he called me up in about 2 weeks, and Brother Harjo did. He said, Preacher Adams, I just want to let you know we can't use this van. And I said, oh, me. And man, just a knot in your stomach. And I hate to send somebody something that's no good. And I said, well, what happened? The motor go out, transmission go out? He said, we just can't use it out here. And that went on for a minute or two. And I said, Brother Hart Joe, just what happened to it? Maybe I can get something here and we can get it out to you there in a later load and you know, help you out. I said, we have gotten motors and transmissions and help some people out. And I said, what do you need? He said, we just can't use it. Well, he's done got me aggravated now. I done got a knot in my stomach. I'm feeling about half sick. And we've sent him out of a trashy van and didn't know it. And I feel so bad, Miss Cindy, about that. I said, brother, I want to know what's wrong with that van. I said, and then he starts sniggering. He said, Brother Adams, he said, you know, you sent that van out here and said it had them new tires on it. I said, yeah. He said, we just don't want to get the tires dirty. I said, Brother Harjo, if I could stick my head through this phone, I said, praise God, I'd bite your ear plumb off. Amen. I said, you get out there and get them tires dirty. He said, we already have. He just called you. We hear stuff like that from time to time. But anyhow, we're helping to get a new work started up in San Juan, Arizona. That is right on the Colorado border, right there over in past Four Corners, if you know where that's at on the map or ever been there. And so we'll be helping to get a church up there. Do pray for that work. We'll be helping there also. But anyhow, we're excited about it. We're helping in Roundup, Montana. Brother Joshua Jett's been out there for 19 years. And Brother Jett got washed away last year. And last fall, the Shell River flooded. It was one of them, what they call a 100-year flood, and washed all of his buildings away. He had a couple of little cabins there where he could have a summer camp. He's been such a blessing to all the missionaries around in Billings and Livingston and all those areas out in there. And Pryor, Montana, and they bring all these children down to have these summer camps. And Brother Jett's just, from my understanding, he just knows how to do it. And I tell you, that just takes a gift from God. I believe that. And so anyhow, the summer camps some of them are going to have to be canceled this year. We've already sent out some things out there, but we've got another load we're getting together right now. And I had hoped to pick up his materials this week. Come to find out, the man that helps us with our building materials, he's out of town. He's going to be gone, won't be back till Saturday evening. So anyhow, we've had to postpone loading our truck till next week. And so anyhow, we're excited about that. But anyhow, the Lord's good. Amen. And I praise God for all that he's Amen. Doing. And do pray for us. We've got two meetings in July, two in August, and two in September. We'll be in North and South Dakota in September. So you pray for us in those months. And then I shared this. I got a hush. My wife's done went. And I asked her to do that, Brother Kenny. She doesn't just do that. I asked her to do that. I said, when I've talked about 15 minutes, do that. And so anyhow, and preacher done gave me a word not looking at my watch, so I can't time myself. So anyhow, I've got to share this with you. And so anyhow, I tell you this. Here back in the winter, we're going to get a load of things to help a ministry, a work up in Pennsylvania. And so we're going down to pick this up, and our truck died dead. Yeah. We're just down below the landfill, and there ain't but one place down there to pull over. And that's where the truck went out on us. And Brother Craig Shue was driving our truck, and I was in there. Me and him was in there. We were going to pick this load up. Had four or five men coming to meet us where we were going to load. And so, anyhow, it just spits and sputters about twice, and that's it. It's done. And Brother Craig has asked me, he said, Preacher, now what do I do? And about the time he said, what do I do? He said, hold on, we're going off. And he goes off the road there in that one spot and gets the truck over there. And so anyhow, I didn't get all tore up, but I'm just wondering, you know, well, Lord, we really need to get this stuff and you got to help us. So I call the mechanic. Mechanic says, well, I'll be on down. He comes on down. Preacher, it's nothing. It's a solenoid. It's a solenoid on the truck. And so anyhow, okay. And he said, so that won't cost you hardly anything. We'll get it fixed. I believe the solenoid run about $30, $40, something like that. So he calls somebody. They're coming through Greensboro. They're going to pick up the solenoid and bring it on up. I'll have your truck ready by this afternoon. I said, okay. And so he takes us home or takes us back to where the pickup's at. And so anyhow, he calls me back later that night. And he said, Preacher, I'm sorry. It was not the solenoid. He said, but it's bound to be the fuel pump. And so can't get any fuel to come to that truck. I can't get a fuel pump till Monday. Brother Kenny, I'm thinking, no, I don't want our truck sitting on the side road till Monday. I don't want everybody driving by and seeing the truck says Rescue America Baptist Missions sitting on the side of the road. I can't tell you how it made me feel. No, we just don't want to do that. You know. And so anyhow, but the most amazing thing, they got the fuel pump, and it wasn't the fuel pump. Come to find out, it's a $3,000 air compressor. Yeah. A little bit of difference on a solenoid. But let me tell you what God did. I know y'all don't know B.J. Ford. But B.J. Ford got all tore up over that, and I hated that so bad. Brother B.J. is one of the finest men. Amen. He calls me up. Preacher, I've seen your truck on the side of the road. And I've talked to Pastor Mark. And whatever you need, we're going to help you. Mm. I said, B.J., I don't really know what it is. And I didn't when he called. So I'm telling my wife, and I hear tell that it's, you know, going to be on up there. Then we're going to have it pulled in and all that. But it was amazing. God had a man to pull it in for us for free. He wouldn't charge us a dime. Isn't that a blessing? That's just how God works. But anyhow, we've gotten the insurance on the truck. We've gotten tags. We've spent thousands and thousands of dollars. We don't have a whole lot of money in the account. We are getting down there close to the bottom. And I'm just praying, God, what do I do? And I just felt like God just kept impressing me. Do nothing. Larry Key, I don't know about you. But I'll tell you what, I ain't geared up to do nothing. But God kept telling me to do nothing. And I kept praying, God, do I call Mark Hall? Lord, I don't know what this is going to run. I don't know what all it's going to cost. Now, Lord, what do we do? And I get this check in the mail from a lady named Miss Nell. And that check's, there's a note in there. It said, Preacher, I was coming down the road. And I saw your truck on the side of the road and I knew you had problems. And God told me to write you a check. Miss Cindy's mother sent us a check in the mail. And then I'll tell you what God did after that. There was little widow lady after little widow lady after little widow lady. Brother Kenny Anderson started sending checks in the mail. And I thought about, what about some of these millionaire preachers like Mark Hall and Kenny Anderson? I mean, Archie Johnson. I mean, praise God. No, I didn't say anything like that. But Miss Neal got that started. And I called Miss Neal and I told her. I said, Miss Neal, you'll never know what that meant to us. My phone rung off the wall for 3 or 4 days. Preacher, what can I do? Preachers and deacons and just people calling. We know you got a problem. Your truck's on the side of the road. I just want you to know we're praying. We're praying. If you need us, call us. If anything we can do, call. Miss Mary, I didn't realize so many people cared. And the whole time, I'm just heartsick because the truck's sitting on the side of the road. But I believe every widow between North Wilkesboro and Elkin saw that truck. But I told Cindy, I said, I got something to tell about your mama tonight. That Miss Nail is such a sweet, sweet lady. And but these others are too. The money just started. And preacher, that's how God paid for that truck. I know Calvary wanted to help. And you never did hear from me. And that's the reason why. God said, do nothing. Anyhow, I'll try to be brief tonight. Preacher don't have to go to work till 8 in the morning. He told me that he usually lets you out at 8, but he didn't say which 8. All right. I'll try not to. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I brought a few pens and a few prayer cards. Do pray for us. This is our 11th year for our truck. It just made its 127th trip out west. And when we get to helping this church up in San Juan, Arizona, right there on the border, that will be church number 87 that we've been able to help to get up and going. Right now they're looking for a piece of land, and so when they find a piece of land, they want to either move a mobile home in there or build a building of some type, just depending on what they can do. And so we'll try to help them with everything that we can. But I'm not sure what the name of the church will be, but it's Brother Bobby Harjo. He's already turned that work down there in Red Valley over to a young man that we met. His name is Isaiah, and just a fine Navajo young man that got saved. And so anyhow, and it really works when they can turn it over to a native. It just really works. And so anyhow, but do pray for us that God will help us and give us wisdom and discernment in what His will would be. Amen. And so we need that so bad. But if you want to stand just for a moment, I'm just going to read a few verses. And we're going to try not to keep you too awful long. I do have a watch, but I doubt if I look at it. If I do, it'll mess me up. But David is in trouble. David's been out of the will of God. And he's been with the Philistines now for a year and 4 months. And so anyhow, he's got problems. The Philistines finally just run him off. And they're God's enemies. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. You better be careful. Praise God who you hang around with. Right. You better be careful, praise God, who you take refuge with. Amen. I'll tell you what, I want you to know one thing. Praise God, I'd stick with God. Amen. And so anyhow, praise God, we'd do well to do that. But anyhow, he's been run off from the Philistines. So he decides he's been living in a place called Ziklag. And so anyhow, if I'm not pronouncing that right, I'll tell you what, it'll be all right. I'll tell you what, I won't tell nobody if you won't. But anyhow, he's been living here, and the Philistines, he's made friends with them, or with most of them, but some of them still hadn't forgot about the giant that he slew. And so anyhow, they want him gone, and that's a good thing. God's taking care of David. I'll tell you what, the Philistines are fixing to go to war with Israel. And so I'll tell you what, and God's already had him anointed to be king. And so anyhow, why would you want to fight against your own people? I think that's about the dumbest thing that a man could ever do. Glory to God, I tell you what. So anyhow, we're picking up the story there. He's done got away from them. He's got back to Ziklag. And the Bible said, and it came to pass when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag was smitten, and Ziklag was burnt and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, and they slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Brother, I'm telling you, their hearts were broken. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. You see, he's got his 600 men with him. These men that had been with him, he's been running from King Saul. And I tell you what, and these men have stood by him. They stood with him. When he gave them instruction, that's what they did. When he told them, let's do this or do that, they followed him. I tell you, David had men that stuck with him. And so anyhow, that's the way that it was. And so now they're thinking about stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. Now this ephod was a garment that had a stone on each shoulder. And I'll tell you what, they were six of the tribes of Israel on one shoulder, and six of the tribes on the other shoulder. And that priest, every time that he went into that holy place, brother, I'll tell you, he was carrying the burden of Israel. Well, I'm going to tell you, David's got a burden for 600 men. He's got a burden for his own family. But he's got 600 men out here. Their hearts are broken. I'm telling you what, they're on rock bottom. And brother, I'll tell you what, and praise God, they've been following David. And I'm telling you what, they had a heart for David. And so anyhow, David goes in and he prays with or for them. And David inquired at the Lord, saying in verse 8, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. I'm going to stop reading right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, God, as we come to you, Lord, as we know how, Father, we just come with thankful hearts tonight. God, I sure do want to thank you for allowing me to be here. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for all you've done and all you're doing. Lord, I thank you tonight, God, for Calvary Baptist Church. Lord, their faithfulness, Lord, and helping us. Lord, everything that Rescue America Baptist Missions has done through the years. God, I pray that you bless them for it all. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, tonight. I pray, oh God, that, Lord, you'd help this servant. Lord, I need your help this evening, Lord. And Father, we sure do pray, God, that there's one in the midst tonight, Lord, and down without God. Lord, tonight it'd be there. The night they'd be saved by the grace of God. Lord, we need you tonight. Lord, I pray, God, you bless in that special way that only you can. Lord, help and encourage the saints of God. And Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we very humbly pray. Amen and amen. Friends, you can be seated tonight. And I'll tell you something right now tonight. We're living in dark times. Brother, I'll tell you, they were singing about the Lord Jesus coming back. And I do believe we're living in the last of the last days. I believe we're living in those perilous times that the Bible speaks about. I believe it's one of the most dangerous hours. Brother, I'll tell you what, you hear the news just like anybody else does. Shootings on every hand. Brother, I'll tell you what, you get up every morning and I'll tell you where we live in this area that we live. And just down the road a little ways, every night somebody's being killed. Brother, I'll tell you what, families are torn apart. I've never seen the beat in all my life. My wife and I have been more burdened, I believe, just this past year. I'll tell you, it started back about Christmas, and we begin to hear about this disaster, and that problem, and that trouble. Brother, I'll tell you what, from this family and that family, and people that are torn apart. But I want to tell you just a little bit about this message. Just a few days after Christmas, it must have been along about the 26th or 7th. I'll tell you, there was a woman, a friend of mine. We preached quite a bit over in Watauga County, back over in Boone. And there was a lady that called me. And Brother Kenny, she calls me, I'll tell you, at least once a month, sometimes every week. And she calls me, Preacher Larry. And Brother, I'll tell you what. And this lady, I'll tell you, she's just such a blessing. She just loves God. But anyhow, she's up in her 70s. And she called me up that day. And I'll tell you what, she said, Preacher, I need your help. I need your prayers. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Praise God, about that time, she just fell apart. And she began to tell me this terrible story about her sister being just on death's door and down in Charlotte. But anyhow, I'll tell you, when she got real sick and when things really got bad, the husband that she had had all these years decided he was done. He was going to walk away. He wasn't going through all that sickness with her. He packed his bags and he moved out. And she said, what are we going to do? And Miss Cindy, I'll tell you immediately, and God had me to open up to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. And I was talking to that lady on the phone. I said, what have you done all these years? All these years, what have you been through? All these years, what have you faced? I said, you've been through the storm. I said, you've been through the fire. I said, you've been through it. And I said, how did you make it through all them times? And I tell you what, she began to weep even worse. I said, you made it by the grace of God. You made it because God helped you. And I said, honey, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know what's going to happen to your sister. I can't tell you how it'll all be, but I know this one thing. There's a God in heaven. Hallelujah to God. I tell you what. And God just began to plug me in. And right on the telephone. Brother, I tell you, I just started preaching. I want you to know something tonight. Hallelujah to God. I tell you, he's still God. And there's none like him. He's still seated on the throne. He's still real. He's still got all power. Brother, I tell you, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. He's God. He's still bringing through people through the fire. Hallelujah to God. I tell you what. Brother, I want you to know he brought old Daniel up through the den of lions. He can bring you through the same thing. Brother, I'm glad, thank God, I'm serving one tonight. Honey, no matter what I face, and I don't know how hard it might be, I don't know what valley I might go through, but thanks be to God, I'm glad tonight I can be encouraged in the Lord God of heaven. Friends, listen to me tonight. I'm glad there's somebody we can turn to in an hour of need. Amen. His name is Jesus. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you what, David said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Preacher, just how do you encourage yourself in the Lord? I'm so glad you asked. I can't hardly stand it. Amen, brother, I'll tell you what. Honey, one thing I can encourage myself in, Pastor, God, on it tonight, in my salvation. And it ain't my salvation. It's the Lord's salvation. Brother, the Bible declares a salvation is of the Lord. Brother, I'm saved by the grace of God. Honey, Jesus told his disciples after he had sent them out, he said, rejoice not because the demons are subject unto you. He said, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Brother Preston, I'll tell you what, hallelujah to God, I'm as saved as I can be, glory to God. Brother, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, headed to hell in a dead run. And one day Jesus got a hold of me and convicted me of my sin and showed me who I was and where I was headed. Glory to God, almost 44 years ago. Brother, I'll tell you something tonight, I've been far from perfect. I'll tell you what, I've missed a mark. I'm born a few times, but I'll tell you this one thing, hallelujah to God, brother, my salvation, it's not shook, it's not sank, it ain't been nowhere, it's still there. I'm still saved, I'm still redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thanks be to God. In the darkest hour, I can shout over the fact that I'm saved, saved, saved by the grace of God. Amen. Brother, old time salvation, praise God, you can't get over it. Brother, I'll tell you, I was in a revival meeting a couple of years ago. And I'll tell you, this lady, her brother used to work for me. And every once in a while, I couldn't ever get her brother to go to church. But every once in a while, his sister would come. And she'd bring her children. Her husband had died when she was very young. I'm telling you what, and so anyhow. But anyhow, I was preaching in this revival meeting. And somebody told her, said, well, he preached about an hour last night. She said, a man that age still preaching hour? I said, you go back and tell her. Her name was Marilyn. I said, you tell Marilyn, praise God, when you can't get over your salvation, hallelujah, you can't quit telling about it, amen. Glory to God. Brother, I'll tell you, this tire's about to drive me crazy, ain't you? Amen. I'll use that for a tire clip. That'll work. Amen. But friends, you listen to me tonight. Hallelujah to God. I tell you what, we ought to be encouraged in God's salvation. Brother, turn with me very quickly, if you would, over to the book of Psalms, chapter number 27. And brother, we find that over there, David, all through the book of Psalms, talks about the God of his salvation. He said this. He said in Psalms 27, verse 1, the light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He says up there, he's my light and my salvation. I'm telling you what, old David, it's saying, hey, one day I got saved, amen. Brother, I know he was on the far side of Calvary and he's looking that away. But I'll tell you what, he had trusted God with everything in him. He said up there, if you would, in verse number 9, that same chapter, he said, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. Oh, God of my salvation. Brother, I'll tell you something right now. And the day of David, I'll tell you, he began to encourage himself in the Lord. Brother, I tell you, I'm glad, thank God, tonight. Brother, I was talking about, it seemed like since the first of the year, we've heard about one family problem after another. And my wife and I'll tell you what, it's just been, it just seemed like an unusual beginning of a year. Brother, I'll tell you what, some of those things have really gotten me down. But I'll tell you something right now. Hallelujah, I'm glad I've got a peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah to God, I tell you what, brother, in the storms of life, in the battles of life, hallelujah to God, I'm glad. Praise God, no matter what comes my way, glory to God, I'm still saved. Saved and secure. And brother, I'll tell you what, there ain't a thing the devil can do about it. There ain't nothing that the demons in hell or out of hell can do about it. There ain't nothing, praise God, a society can do about it. I'm saved. I have an eternal salvation. And I believe old Daddy, I believe old David is encouraging himself in the fact, I'm the Lord's, I'm his.
and he's mine. Hallelujah. And brother, I tell you what, if they stone me, I'm still his. If I walk away, I'm still his. Hallelujah to God. I tell you what, I still belong to God. No matter, praise God, no matter how this turns out. Brother, I'll tell you, if we get our families back, okay. I'll tell you, if we don't get them back, I'm telling you what, I'm still saved. I'm still the Lord's. I'm still one of his children. Praise God, I'm one of the sheep of his flock. Hallelujah to God. I tell you what, friend, I want you to know something tonight. Thank God, if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, I'm telling you there is a peace that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds. If you're here tonight and you're a child of the King, hallelujah to God, heaven will be your home. Somebody asked me one time, I said, preacher, do you know how many people's going to heaven? I said, I know exactly how many people's going to heaven. I said, every blood-washed child of God, every one of them will get there. Every one of them's got a place. Brother, I'll tell you something tonight. I'm glad. Thank God. I can rejoice in the fact that Jesus is my Savior. My name is written there. My sins are under the blood. Hallelujah. There's a place for Larry Adams. Amen. If he comes tonight, I say hallelujah. Friends, you listen to me. I'll tell you another thing I can be encouraged in. It's past blessings. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you what. Praise God. There's been times I've seen God, preacher, and you have too. I saw him just back in January when that old truck gave up the ghost on the side of the road. And brother, I'm telling you what, four or five mechanics couldn't get it started. Hallelujah to God. I tell you what, everybody and their brother calling up, what can I do? All I could tell them, I said, just pray. We're not sure what's wrong. We got some men hold of it. There's some people looking at it, and they don't know what's wrong either. But I'll tell you what, you say, oh, preacher, they've got computers now. You plug them in, they tell you everything. I know that. And we just had a new one put in that truck just last year. But the most amazing thing, honey, I'll tell you right now, there's a plugging that thing in, and that thing wasn't telling them nothing. Brother, yeah. They said, we ain't getting nothing. We don't know what it is. We don't know where it's at. We know what's wrong. It ain't getting no fuel. And brother, it was almost full of fuel, and it couldn't get none. And I'll have you to know. And then about that time, and this snail, praise God, she sent that check. Hallelujah. And I'm thinking, oh God, there's a little widow woman. Glory, hallelujah. And God, how are you going to do this? And God just saying, don't you do anything. Don't do a thing. And God didn't want to do a thing through me. God didn't want to do a thing through somebody maybe that could, or some church. God wanted to do it through little widows. Honey, I'll tell you, isn't that amazing? And now every time I crank that truck, I just about shout, and I start thinking, glory to God, it's on the road, because some widows got a call from heaven and say, that poor old preacher, he's stranded again. Somebody please help him. And they helped. Friend, let me tell you tonight, you can shout from here to heaven on what he's already done. Amen. Bold David is over there one day, and God told Samuel, he said, you go down there and anoint him king. Go down to Jesse's house, and you anoint one of his sons, and I'll let you know which one. Well, Jesse's done got it all figured out. He knows exactly it'll be one of them first seven sons. He brings seven of those sons up through there. And I'll tell you, Samuel's looking at him. And brother, God says, that ain't him. It's not him. It's not him. He told Samuel, he said, Samuel, I know you look on the outward appearance, but he said, I look on the heart. And I'll tell you, after old Samuel had looked out over all of Jesse's sons, he said, Jesse, you got any more sons? He said, I got one. He said, he's down there watching the sheep. A little ruddy boy. He's got, I'll tell you what, he said, we're not doing a thing till he gets here. And brother, about that time, old Jesse, brother, I'll tell you, he sent down, and somebody got David word, and he said, you need to come to the daddy's house, and daddy's needing it up to the house. Brother, I'll tell you what, old Jesse, old David comes walking in, and praise God, about that time, and God got a hold of Samuel's heart, and he said, that's him. That's him. Hallelujah to God, I'll tell you what. And I imagine David must have thought, and daddy didn't even have any confidence in me, and daddy didn't even think that I was good enough or big enough enough or brave enough. I praise God or godly enough to be somebody that God could use. I tell you, Daddy even thought, I tell you what, that God could use some little old shepherd boy like me. But I'll tell you, God had me on his mind. Friend, I'll tell you something right now. I turned my sister got all plugged in about a month ago. I tell you, she got to shouting at the church. I'll tell you, Brother Kenny Anderson, I'll tell you what she said. And I'm not bragging on me, but she looked over at me and the tears are flying. And brother, she said, and my brother, the most bashful boy that I ever knew in my life, and God would call him to preach. She said, I'd have never dreamed that. I'd have never thought of that. And I wanted to shout with her and say, me neither. Me neither. I'd have never put that together. But I'll tell you one thing. Hallelujah to God. I want you to know, brother, I tell you, I'd rather get in the pulpit and get plugged in to another world than anything I know tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. When your pastor called me, he blessed my heart. I told my granddaughter this morning, we were working on that trailer. And I told her, I said, boy, Paul sure would like to preach tonight. And that's all I said. I didn't pray about it. I didn't help her to pray about it. And this is what she told me. I bet you would. I said, yeah, but don't guess I will. A couple hours later, hello, preacher. This is Mark Hall. Glory to God, Mark Hall. Hey, buddy. Hallelujah. Brother, I want you to know the past blessings that God's done in your life, the things that he's brought you through. How many times you think them three Hebrews look back at the fire and say, yeah, I've been there. I know what that's all about. Look at me. Hallelujah. I didn't even get a blister. I didn't even, you know, you can get too close to a fire and you get like a sunburn. Yeah. That's just all there to it. I said, I didn't even get a burn. I didn't get scorched or nothing. Praise God. I wasn't even, the flames didn't hurt me enough and didn't even trim my eyebrows. Hallelujah. It didn't do nothing. Glory to God. How many times do you think old Daniel, he looked down over there down the hill maybe, over yonder in the holler of the hillside. Roar, man, I tell you, an old lion would cry out. And old Daniel would say, hey, I done been there. Hallelujah to God, I've seen that. I know what that is. But I'll tell you something right now. I ain't got a scar on me where the lions have bit me. I didn't get slobbered on. I didn't get licked on. Hallelujah to God, I tell you what. And they just laid down and behaved. And brother, they act like they was a little house kitten. Hallelujah to God, they never bothered me. Brother Tam Cheek, I tell you what. How many times the devil's tried to kill us and he's tried to do what he could to stop us and tried to derail us. Friend, let me tell you something right now. You're not a nobody. Honey, you're hand chosen by the hand of a holy God. He chose you. He's the one that brought you up and said, hey, I want you. I want to use you. I want you to live where I live. I want you in my family. I've called you. Amen. Oh, listen to me tonight, friend. Past blessings. Brother, I'll tell you something right now. And not only that, but past victories. Oh, yeah. Boy, David, you look back over in chapter 17. He's facing a giant. Brother, I'll tell you, the armies of Israel, scared to death, shaking in their shoes. Lord God, I tell you what. But I'll tell you, God helped you.
Oh, yeah.
And brother, I'll tell you what, the giant has stepped out. Brother, I'll tell you, you're facing it, but you're going to face it by the grace of God and by faith in the Lord God of heaven that God can bring you through. Amen? Yes, amen. Brother, let me tell you something, past victories. Brother, how many times have you felt defeated? How many times, praise God, the devil said, just throw in the towel? How many times, preacher, when I was pastoring, praise God, every once in a while I'd go up the road and nobody would listen? Brother, I'll tell you what, you'd sit down and study, and praise God, probably sometimes on Saturday nights ain't nothing coming together, and I'll tell you about 4 o'clock in the morning, praise God, you finally look up and this, I've even told the Lord this. I said, Lord, this Larry Adams, and I got to have some sleep, Lord. I can't make it. I ain't like you. Praise God, you neither sleep nor slumber. I'm not like you. I got to have 3 or 4 hours. Praise God, I'm like a dead dead man. Brother, I tell you, I just can't make it. I've told him that. And then I go back, Miss Cindy, and tell him, God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get snappy with you or nothing. You know exactly who I am. But I've done that before. Brother, I'll tell you what. You sit up all night. And brother, I'll tell you, God gave you about a half a thought. Amen. You step in that pulpit with about a half a thought. Hallelujah to God. Pour your heart out. Preach your eyeballs out. Brother, I'll tell you something right now. Hallelujah to God. You put everything you've got in it. And you just want to please God. And you're thanking Him that He plugged you in. Amen. Friends, you listen to me tonight. Hallelujah to God. And the devil was telling you before you got there, just quit. You need to throw in the towel. Well, praise God, you can't even get a message anymore. Dear God, you must be dried up and half dead if you ain't plumb dead. I'm telling you, what's wrong with you? Praise God, I tell you, these other men don't have a problem. You don't ever hear about them. Praise God, getting all nervous and tore all the pieces, I tell you, before they get in the pulpit. It never happens to them, but it happens to you, Larry Adams. You're the only one that can't get a message in the whole wide world. You're the only one that's going to that church, and you feel as empty as a 55-gallon barrel. And I'll tell you what, and all the while God said, go ahead. Go ahead. And the devil's saying, no, just quit. Just quit. Go ahead and resign today. Just give it up. Hallelujah to God. And then you go ahead. Brother, because you know under the voice of the good shepherd. You know the voice. Hallelujah. Brother, I'll tell you, the one that's leading his sheep. And friend, I'm telling you what. Praise God, I'm glad. Thank God, I tell you, that God will take care of you. Brother, He'll help you. And friend, I tell you something tonight. That's the kind of God we serve. And I'm glad tonight. I've got victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. I can trust Him. Brother, I'll tell you tonight, I'm glad that I can lean on Him. I can look to Him. He's real. Hallelujah tonight. Friends, listen to me tonight. Honey, you and I, we're on the winning side. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the devil declares. We're on the winning side. Couldn't lose if we wanted to. Amen. Brother, you listen to me tonight. Praise God, old David, he's out there facing this giant. Everybody's scared to death. He's saying, hey, I remember I was down there looking at your daddy's sheep one time, and there's a bear and a lion come out. He said, glory to God, I tell you what, who does that old Philistine think he is? He said, I'll tell you what, I'll go fight that Philistine. Everybody's making fun of him. Everybody's saying, you can't, you can't, you can't. Boy, how many times have you heard that? You can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. Brother, I'll tell you what, I heard that when we got into the ministry that we're in. You can't. I got phone calls, praise God, that broke my heart. I'm just being honest with you. I got talked about like a dog, and I'm telling you something right now. But all I kept telling my wife was, don't worry about it. Don't matter the difference what people say. I've not quit preaching. I have quit pastoring. And I'll tell you what, there ain't nothing changed between me and God except the calling that God's put on my life. And God's changed my direction. I'm telling you something right now. But people called up and they left messages. I'm telling you, that ripped your heart out. They'd leave these messages about 11:30, 12 o'clock on a Sunday. They knew I was in church somewhere. Them fine Christians. Come on. One woman just told me, she said, I hate you. I hate you. Said, I've always thought so much of you and respected you. And she said, Larry Adams, for what you've done, I hate you. And I'll never quit hating you. And I'll tell you, it's one of the finest ladies that I'd ever pastored, I thought. Opal said, what are you going to do? I said, I ain't even calling her. If she don't know me no better than that. Right. Her and God's going to have to deal with this, not me. And I said, I'm not even going to call her, and I never did. And so anyhow, but she's gone on to meet the Lord. And so anyhow, she quit hating me somewhere along the way. But friends, you listen to me tonight. Past victories. Glory, hallelujah. Brother, I'll tell you something. I don't mean to get back on the ministry. But I can't tell you how it felt, Brother Potts. That first church, praise God, that God helped us to get all the building materials out there. Welcome Home Baptist Church over there, praise God, in Arizona. You say, preacher, you only helping Arizona? No. We've helped all over out in the West, but I'll tell you what, we started out in Arizona, and right now that's just where we're at. But anyhow, I'll tell you what, praise God, I went to a little church back up here in the mountains. I'll never forget it, and I'm wondering, God, how's this going to work? God, I don't know how to ask for money. I don't know how to do this. Lord, you've got the wrong man. And I know God don't mess up, but I thought he had. I go to that little church and I preach on a Sunday night. Praise God, I'm talking about this little, they've got a cement pad and they ain't got another dime. And that missionary stood there and the tears streaming down his face. Brother Larry, I don't know what we're going to do. We don't have any money for materials. And what had happened, they had got cheated on their concrete. And I'm telling you what, this company had beat them out of $12,000. And they was hoping they'd have enough money. But that's a long story. I won't get into all of that. But I go to that little mountain church, and after I got set down, the pastor got up there, and somebody said, Brother Larry, did you say that you needed the framing material? How big is that building? And I said, well, he's building a 40 by 60 is what he's building. I've done got the concrete poured. And this man says, well, I think the church ought to buy all the framing material. Yeah. Miss Cindy, this is a small country church. And pastor, he didn't call conference. He didn't say wait for 3 weeks. Praise God, we have conference on the third Tuesday of the second month. It starts with J. Yeah. He just said, how many would like to do that? And I just couldn't help, I mean, Shirley, but look around a little bit. It looked like every hand in the house went up. Praise God. And they said, we'll pay for every bit of the frame and you find out what it cost. Well, about that time, praise God, that vote was done. Another man jumps up and said, well, if we're going to pay for all the framing, we ought to at least put it in the dry and put a roof on it. He said, we ought to put the roof on it. Same church. I ain't gone nowhere. I ain't got over what they just said. Hallelujah to God. I tell you what, this fellow jumps up and he said, praise God, well, at least put it in the dry. I said, it'd be a shame to send the framing out. And then maybe it'd come up a storm out there and tear it all down. Said, maybe put a roof on that building. Praise God. The preacher says, all right, how many want to go ahead and pay for the roofing on that building? Pay for the rafters, the trusses and all that. I said, how many want to do that? And looked like every hand in the house went up. And I'm thinking, glory to God, this is the easiest thing I've ever done in my life. I didn't ask for one dime. I just told about the need. And that's all I've continued to do is just tell about the need. Brother, I'll tell you what, praise God, we still ain't done. Glory to God, same church, same service, same night. Brother Chris, you make hallelujah to God. I tell you what, man, I'm just in awe. I can't believe this. And so anyhow, praise God, somebody else stood up and said, well, I said, tell you what, I said, if we're going to frame it up and we're going to put it under the roof and we're going to put it in the dry, well, at least by the doors and windows go in it so it can really be dried in. And I thought, man. And so anyhow, praise God, I'm thinking, man, how much money they got in the bank? What's going on here? Praise God, I tell you what. And the preacher's up there, and I'm thinking, praise God, this will never go down on the records. Praise God, nobody won't believe it nohow. And so he said, all right, how many want to do that? Every hand in the house looked like went up. He said, it looks like everybody's for it and nobody disagrees. So he said, we're going to buy all the doors and windows that go in that. I said, now, preacher, you just get us a list of all this and what it's going to cost. And we're going to write you a check. And praise God, I'll tell you what, so anyhow. And then Miss Murray, it still wasn't over. One man stands up and he says this. He said, well, he said, if we're going to frame it up and we're going to put the roof on it and we're going to put all the doors and windows in it. He said, I'll tell you what, now Larry's done told us he's in the White Mountains of Arizona and it gets cold up there and they have like 5 or 6 feet of snow every year. And so praise God, he said, he's going to need some insulation in them walls too. I'm thinking, how far is this going to go? Hallelujah to God. Brother, I'll tell you what. And so that preacher's up there and he said, how many wants to go ahead and buy the insulation? Every hand in the house went up. I'm thinking, praise God, what's coming up next? We'll need heating and air. Hallelujah to God. We're going to need water pipe. We're going to need gravel for a driveway. Boy, I tell you, my mind's going crazy, you know. But it stopped right there. Hallelujah to God. But I'll tell you something right now. Glory to God, I tell you, that's the kind of God we serve. Amen. Brother, how many times I've looked back on that. Oh, Brother Ken Trivett was needing some chairs out there. And I'll tell you, for about 2 months, I'm trying to raise some money for chairs. We don't have any money left in the account. And I'm telling you what, Brother Larry Key, oh, we stay just about broke all the time. I'm just telling you the God's truth. We keep a little money in there. I'm telling you what, but I want you to know, anyhow, we're trying to raise about $2,000. I'm going to everywhere. I didn't get to come to Calvary, but I'm going all over the place saying, listen, we're trying to help a missionary in South Dakota. And so anyhow, I'll tell you what, we want to buy him some chairs, and we can get these chairs for around $2,000 what he needs to get his church going out there. And so anyhow, and I just leave it at that. I ain't asking for $2,000. I'm just telling him how much they are. Praise God. I go back to this little church, a little country church, one Sunday morning. I'm preaching there, and I got up there and I told all about the chairs. And I didn't say a thing about money. I didn't mention nothing about a dime of money. I didn't tell how much they're going to cost or nothing. We get in the car to go to the house, and this is what Miss Opal said. She said, "Honey, you told about the chairs. You never did tell them what they cost." And Larry Adams, this man of great faith, standing in front of you. Oh, my soul, Miss Cindy, I had this great thing to say to her. I looked over at my wife and I said, "Well, who cares? Ain't nobody going to give a dime nohow. I've been trying to get money for those chairs for 2 months. Ain't nobody give a quarter. We ain't got a cent. I ain't even had nobody to even look at me like he's even interested." She said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Wednesday, we've got to get them chairs ordered." And I said, "We're going to get them one way or the other. By the grace of God, we're getting those chairs." And so anyhow, that Sunday I got home. That pastor called me just as I got to the house. He said, "Brother Larry, you going to be home for a little while?" I said, "Yeah. As far as I know," I said, "I'll be in for a while." He said, "Do you care if I come by?" I said, "No, you come right on. I'd be glad for you to." He comes by and he said, "You know, when you was preaching today, God spoke to one of the men there in the church and told him to buy those chairs." Well, then it come back to me. Well, Opal said I didn't even tell him what they cost. How would that man know how much to pay? As if God didn't know math. I mean, if God can run the universe, he owns it all. He can make this and all the way rivers are running and all the creeks and all the trees. Tam cheek, why in the world I think God don't know how to do math? Amen. I'm just telling you that God's truth. So anyhow, I'm staring at that pastor and he said, "That man told me," he said, not tell you who he was, "but God told him to pay for those chairs," and he handed me $2,100 bills. Isn't that amazing? That's the way Rescue America Baptist Missions operated all these years. And I'll tell you what, but I'll tell you what God did. I've got to hush. I got to let people go before it's midnight. I know I do. Amen. At least I didn't know I'm going the same day I got here. But anyhow, we went ahead and bought the chairs, and it was like $1,890-something. I'm going to say 97, something like that. And so anyhow, I got $103 or $104 left over. And so anyhow, got them chairs, paid for them, picked them up. We've got them on the truck. They're fixing to go out just in a day or two. And so anyhow, this is what I told my wife. I said, "You know what that preacher told me, that man that gave this money? He never said one word about he was donating anything to the ministry. He never said one word about you and I get a dime of anything. He said God told him to buy the chairs." So that day, Kenny Anderson, I called that pastor up and I said, "Pastor, I said, you know the man that bought those chairs and there's money left over. Can I bring that to you? Or you?" He said, "No, I'm going to be coming to your house in a little while or up that road." And he said, "I'll just run by and pick it up." So I'll tell you what. And then this is what happened, how I found out who did that. When I preached that Sunday, there was a blind man sitting in the audience. And I'll tell you what. I gave that preacher that money. He takes it by that blind man's house and gives him back the change. He said, "You've never heard a man shout so in your life." He said, "A Baptist preacher don't never give money back." He said, "A Baptist preacher ever gets his hands on your money, you ain't never getting it." Said, "He's just a hollering and a hooping, glory to God." He said, "You ain't never seen a blind man shout so in all your life." And then I knew who it was that God spoke to. I told Miss Opal, I said, "A blind man is probably seeing further than a whole lot of people that see plain every day." But I'll tell you what, it's amazing how God works. But let me tell you, you can be encouraged in past victories. I'm going to hush with this tonight. I am going to let you go. But I'll tell you, you can be encouraged. Praise God, I'll tell you on the Word of God. The Bible said in verse number 8, "And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all." Did you know tonight, people, I want you to know this right now. Hallelujah to God. Brother, I tell you, you can pick up that Bible. You can get a word from heaven. You can get a word of encouragement from a child of God. I don't know about you, preacher. Praise God, it keeps me going. It just keeps me going. Hallelujah to God. I tell you what, every once in a while I pick up that Bible, I'll tell you what. Praise God. And I tell you, that thing just speaks out at me. And I'll tell you, it gives me direction. It gives me purpose for going on. And I'll tell you what, glory to God, I fellow just the materials that we get, these two befores and things that we get, they're not actually cut to length. We get some that might be 8'2" and 9'3" and 10'14" or whatever, you know. I'm just telling you now, these materials we get, they're not cut to length. And we send these out. Well, there's a man come to our warehouse, and he's seen all these two befores, and he said, "Preacher, is them exactly 8 feet?" I said, "No, they're not." And you know, I could take a few days, I guess, Brother Larry Key, and help these missionaries out, but I don't know exactly what they need. I know they need 152 befores. So that's what we send them, you know. And I tell them, I say, "Now, these two befores are not cut. You'll always get some oddball lengths in these two befores." And I said, "But they're given to us. We give them to you. We ship them to you for free. Doesn't cost you a dime. If you want them, fine. If you don't, that's okay too." And so this man, he just jumped all over me. "I think these missionaries deserve better than that. He's getting me down the road, Miss Cindy." And I said, "Well, I'm not saying they don't deserve better. I'm sure they deserve two before studs cut right to length. They deserve two by 12s, you know, cut exactly on 12 feet, or two by 6s, or two by 8s, or whatever." I said, "I know that's what they deserve. I said, I understand that. We don't have a bottomless pit of money. We don't have a bank account, praise God, that we don't have to keep an eye on. We don't have money to go over here to Lowe's or Home Depot or down to Blevins's and buy that stuff. I said, if we did, we wouldn't have any money to help but about one or two missionaries a year. It'd just run into tens and tens of thousands of dollars." And I said, "Our money is spent getting it to them. We don't pay their drivers drive for free. Hopefully I don't take one dime out of that ministry. We never have." And I didn't say that. I didn't come to say that tonight. I'm just saying this tonight. Praise God. We give them what God gives us. And that's what we do. He chewed me out. And he said, "I don't think none of that's right." And you know what I'm thinking? Get out. You didn't hook this up. God did. God's the one that put this together. And so, oh, he done had me plumb aggravated and frustrated. And then after he leaves, I get to thinking, Lord, they do deserve cut right. God, if I knew exactly what they need, God, I'll start doing that. And if I don't do it, Preston will help me. Preston's been so good to help me. I'm telling you what, he's helped me out of the side ditch several times. I love that young man. But anyhow, whatever God wants is okay with me. But I'll have you to know something right now. God charged my batteries the day the man offered to do that for us. I said, "Yes, we'll do it." And praise God, I would say that at least 50 out of the 87 churches that have been started up has been built with that lumber. Well, you reckon God don't know what he's doing? I'm telling you what, God gave me the okay to do it. Hallelujah to God. I tell you what, if he gives it to you, it'll work. Yes, it will. I praise his sweet name. I tell you I do. But I tell you, you can get encouragement out of the word of God. I'll tell you what, you can be encouraged on the fact he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He told you that in the word of God. Amen. Praise God, I'm glad. Thank God the Bible said, Jesus said, the reason you don't have is because you haven't asked. Amen. Praise God, I'll tell you what, he said now. He said, we pray amiss because we ask and want to consume it with our own lust. Amen. But anyhow, Jesus was talking about over, he said, whatever you ask in my name, said, I'll do it for thee. The Father will do it for you. Friends, you listen to me tonight. I want you to know this right now. Thank God, I'm glad he'll withhold no good thing from them that love him. Praise God, I want you to know something tonight. Hallelujah to God, I tell you, you can trust his word, amen. Boy, taste the Lord. Praise God, he's good.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah to God. I tell you, the psalmist said, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Amen.
The Bible said, but my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Right.
Hallelujah to God. I tell you what, if God tells you to do it, do it. Lord God, I just had a story come to my mind. I'll tell you, but I won't take the time. I know you've done heard enough tonight. I'm going to have to call somebody. Praise God. I'm going to have to call Kenny Anderson. Just tell him this other story. Glory to God. I tell you what. Preacher, it'll make that blue shirt turn red. It will. Hallelujah to God. I tell you. I just get amazed at what God does. I done told you about it, Brother Preston. Praise God. I tell you what. Praise God. Maybe I can get you to this. That's you take go tell his story. Amen. Hallelujah. You remember this tax story I told you? Yeah, hallelujah. I know you'd remember that. That put a grin on his face about as wide as the Mississippi River. Amen. Brother, you listen to me now. I get so amazed how God operates. But I can trust his word.
Amen.
There's a peace that passes all understanding. And I'm going to hush for this. That's exactly what Larry Adams tries to operate on. If someone needs something, if there's some need that comes up, and my wife will say, honey, we don't have the money, or I don't know. We had never done that before. I get to praying. If I can get peace about it, all I can say, Mark Hall, get out of my way. I'm coming through. Hallelujah. But it won't be that way. I can come by and say, oh, Mark Hall, that's what God said. Mark Hall, say, hey, can we help you? That's just the way he does things. That's the way he does. Friend, I want to tell you something right now. If you allow the peace of God to rule your heart and rule your mind, you'll be amazed what God will place in your hand to help others. David had 600 men here ready to stone him one day, and then, praise God, the next day they're ready to march with him again. I'll tell you what, friends, I'm going to tell you, you can trust God. But I don't know what you might face. I don't know what you might go through or know what you're facing right now. But let me say this tonight. Why don't you just come and say, Lord, help me to be encouraged in
Amen,
you.
Bro.
I want to be encouraged.
Amen.
There's sickness every way we turn. I tell you, it seems like cancer is an epidemic. Every way we turn. It just seems to me like that there's problems in the home every time we turn around. I don't know what you're facing tonight. I don't know what's been laid in your lap. I don't know what's come your way. I know Lowe's is shutting down a lot of jobs and shipping them down to Mooresville and different things. And we've had several phone calls over that. And my daughter's involved in that. And we've certainly prayed about all that. But I don't know what's bothering you. But I do know this. God told me to preach this message tonight. And you need to be encouraged. That choir was singing like they're already encouraged. Everybody I've talked to tonight and shook hands with seems tonight already encouraged. But you're here tonight with that heavy heart.
Come on,
you're in here tonight, praise God, saying, what am I going to do? You're in here tonight and you're thinking, what can I do to turn this around? How am I going to make it through this? How am I going to face that? Because you're going to encourage yourself in the fact that he's still God, he's still on the throne, he's still real, and he can still do anything. Let's all stand to our feet. Ask the pianist to come and play softly. Ask the